Good morning, everybody. Thank you all for coming out to the first session of the day. We appreciate it. I am here to talk to you today about the county health rankings and how they can be used as a tool to generate awareness in communities, not just amongst traditional public health people, but across a broad the broad spectrum of sectors who can all contribute to health. I have no relationships to disclose. Everything I talk about is the work of a lot of people back in Wisconsin and with support from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, and we have several partners across the country who help us with our work, and I'd just like to acknowledge all of them. So I'm going to give you an introduction to the county health rankings, talk a little bit about how the rankings are actually used to generate action, and then I'm going to introduce you to a new component of our work with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the county health roadmaps. I also would like to point out something I never noticed before, that apparently both the commission and the county health rankings are both Halloween-themed with our orange logos and slides, and so we're all in the spirit of this today. So, and actually, this orange text, is that we use orange text normally. I didn't change this just for Halloween. So why rankings? Well, first of all, I'd like to give credit to America's Health Rankings, which was the predecessor to our work. They came along a long time before we did. They ranked the health of all 50 states across the nation. They've been doing that since 1990. Tom Eckstein's in the back there as the brains behind that operation. We built on that work in Wisconsin and took a model that was applied to states and began to use it to rank the health of counties, first in Wisconsin and then starting in February of 2010 with a Robert Wood Johnson Foundation support, we began ranking the health of nearly all counties by state across the nation. But why rankings? Versus just, you know, publishing information about the health of communities. Well, what we found is that rankings are a really good way to simplify a whole lot of complex information. And it's easier for people to talk about a place, that the healthiest county in the state, versus talking about what the mortality rate might be in the state. It reduces this. Rankings get people's attention. They serve as a hook. And yes, the media will cover rankings. They won't cover reports that are big, fat reports, but something like a rankings does get attention. And more importantly, we feel that the way that we compile the rankings, that it really provides context to communities about, as Brenda was talking about, all the multiple factors that influence health. But although we provide a wealth of data on our website at countyhealthrankings.org, and we provide data at the local level for places that haven't seen it before, really what we're doing is providing an entry point. The rankings are not the end point. Action and improvement in health is the end point. Rankings just get people started. So this is just an overview of why we do what we do. We don't collect any data ourselves. We compile data that others have used. We compile the rankings. We get people to pay attention with the intent of engaging numbers of people throughout the community. Ultimately, we hope so that they will identify evidence-informed policies and programs and ultimately to improve health. We base our rankings on this model of population health. We rank on both health outcomes based on length and quality of life, and we rank based on a series of health factors in four categories: health behaviors, clinical care, social and economic factors, and the physical environment. And you'll see those percentages under each of those four categories. That is the relative weighting that each of those factors contribute to the health factors rank. We consider the health outcomes information to be a picture of how healthy a community is today, whereas these health factors are the predictors of how healthy a community will be in the future. And you'll notice that following on from the work that Brenda was talking about, you'll see that social and economic factors do get the strongest weight in this model. So we collect a number of measures in those five areas of health outcomes and health factors, and we pick measures to be, as Brenda was talking about, things that are actionable, things that can be modified. So we don't include in our rankings gender or race and ethnicity. We focus on things that people can work at to change. We try to use measures that others use so that they're familiar. We do things at the county level, and we really try to minimize the number of measures that we do, because this is about communication, getting attention, and if we had pages and pages of data, we would lose a lot of people in the process. So all of this is available, as I said, at countyhealthrankings.org. I encourage you all to go there. By the way, who's ever been to countyhealthrankings.org? All right, that's pretty good, about 50% of you. That's great. So that was my lightning overview of the County Health Rankings. If you really want to know more about the County Health Rankings, there's a shameless plug, there's an epidemiology section tomorrow at 10:30 when you could hear everything you want to know and more about the details of that. So, but really, the County Health Rankings, as I said, they're a tool to get attention, to help communities move towards action. And we, so as well as data on our website, we have a whole section about action steps and things that communities can do, and we build that section off this model. This model looks familiar to a lot of people. It looks like a community health assessment cycle, but it also looks like a strategic planning cycle to people from the more traditional healthcare community or to businesses. So we try to use language that covers all of the participants who you see in the center of the diagram. You see public health there, and you see healthcare there, but you also see government and education and business and grant makers and just in the community in general in the middle. And so on our website, we've got information for all of those steps in the outer circle to assist communities. So, and we also, as I said, the rankings are a starting point, not an end point. We encourage everybody to take a look at their rankings and the data that we provide there, but then to really drill down within their own community to understand each community's needs and resources. And so we provide this data drill down guide to assist with that. Where are we all heading with this? This is a slide that I am stealing from Angie. You may see it again, but I just want to, I think it's a great way to indicate. You see on the left our model, but on the right you see examples of things and actions, policy changes that can be implemented that really will actually improve each of the factors, which will improve the health of communities. And that's really what we're striving towards. It's not just about reporting data, it's about these actions. So we encourage users on our website to submit their stories about things that have going on in their communities. And we have several examples ourselves that we can share, but well, this is just one example that I show here about the county in Michigan that was ranked the lowest the first year that we released the rankings, Clare County, Michigan. One of my colleagues called the local health officer, Mary Cushion, in Clare County to give her a heads up that the report was coming out and that county was going to be ranked lowest. And Mary Cushion, momentarily was like, oh. But then within seconds, she said, well, that's okay, because I've organized this summit that's going to be coming up, and this is going to be really useful information to feed into to the work that we're doing. She held this summit. Over 100 people showed up to learn about the health in the community, and from that initial summit, they've put together a campaign called Together We Can. They've identified a whole list of priorities to work on, and things are really happening in that community, in that county, in the surrounding counties. We don't take the credit for that, but we did provide a tool that Mary could use to help communicate with her community members about all the ways that they could be improving health in that community. Similarly, if you go to our website, there's a video there that you can see that talks about the work in Wyandotte County. where they also have taken the approach of looking at data, but then using it as a call to action. And actually, there's a competing session with mine at 10:30, just so that I'm doing full disclosure. There's a session at the same time that actually has the folks from Wyandotte County talking about the actions that they've have taken place in that community that ranked one of the lowest in Kansas. So if you're a data geek, come to my session. If you really want to know about the action and the important stuff, go to the Wyandotte session. So that's just a lightning overview of rankings in action. And now I just want to give you my final lightning overview of this new program or initiative that we're calling County Health Roadmaps. And this is also funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. It's we're rebranding the entire project to become County Health Rankings and Roadmaps. And this is about roadmaps to health. And it builds on the section of our current website where we have these action steps building off that the action cycle that I showed you earlier. The roadmaps to health concept includes a number of key sort of considerations that are being included in this new initiative. First of all, what we really need to do is broaden the representation at the table in our health improvement activities. Public health cannot do this alone. There is others who can contribute. There are other philanthropies that can be involved. There are businesses, there's healthcare, there's education. And so one component of the Roadmaps to Health is that the foundation is offering is inviting some partners to the table, and the first one of those partners is actually United Way Worldwide. They're a national organization, but with local affiliates. Their mission is very much aligned with our work, and they are actively participating now in incorporating and building on the work from the rankings and getting others involved in the actions that Marjorie and Angie are going to talk more specifically about the kinds of actions that communities can take. So that's partner grants is one component. Next week, you'll hear an announcement about 12 community grants that are being made by the foundation. And these are going to communities that have already got established multi-sector coalitions and that have already identified a policy or systems change focusing on social and economic factors. And so these grants are going to go to support that work and the policies changes that these communities are trying to do. Again, it's beyond health behaviors and clinical care. I emphasize that the focus of the roadmaps is really on policy and systems change rather than just implementing specific programs that just affect a few people. And then another component of the roadmaps is going to be to actually offer an application process for a prize or prizes to go to communities that really are making progress in their journey to health and really are using a multi-sectoral approach and are really trying to move the needle. And so more information about that prize process will be available in the first quarter of 2012. So the point of this new initiative is really for us to be supporting communities who want to take action. In addition to the components I just talked about, we're actually going to expand the County Health Rankings website and really build an action center with lots of user-friendly tools to help communities. And then beyond that, based out of the University of Wisconsin, we will also be providing training and technical assistance and support to help communities find the tools that they need, and then also to connect communities together who are working on similar issues. Like I said, these are the specific strategies. We'll have database on policies and programs and online learning communities. And then I said this sort of consultation process at different levels that we're going to make available. So with that, I am going to turn it over to Marjorie, who's going to get a bit more specific about tobacco policy change and the lessons that we can learn from that work. So thank you all.